I remember as a young man, as I was a single young man, how children used to scare me. I really don't know why, but they terrified me. I never really knew how to quite interact with them. And it's funny that as I met Connie and the Lord blessed me with a beautiful family, how much of a blessing that has been in my life. And there was a man who was very responsible and used greatly by God to bring me to Christ so that Christ could allow his word to penetrate my heart and bring me to salvation. And one thing this man said to me that always stuck with me, and we're going to talk about this a little bit. And he was talking about his children. He had two sons and a daughter. And I asked him, I said, why is it so, I mean, I was a new believer, and I asked him, why is it so important to go to church? And he goes, so that I teach my kids that it's an important part of life. I never forgot that. I never forgot that. And I said, well, I said, can't you just tell them? And he goes, this isn't the type of thing that you can do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. That doesn't work with this. I need to show them that it's important for my life. Otherwise, my kids will never think it's important for theirs if it's not important for mine. And I never forgot that. And I think that's part of our text today as we look at Jesus and how he actually got angry. There's a few times in the Bible where Jesus got very angry. And this is one of them. And as the disciples tried to stop children from coming to him, I think we need to pay attention to those times that Jesus gets angry. And so we're going to be looking in two sections of Scripture, but we're going to start in Mark chapter 10. And so if you have your Bible, if you want a part, go there. The other Scripture that we're going to be using is Matthew chapter 18. And so if you want to put a thumbnail in there or whatever, that's the two texts that we're going to be drawing off of here this morning. In Mark chapter 10, Mark gives us kind of a snapshot right before Christ's final Passover as he's on his way to the cross. And you can kind of see the hatred of the Pharisees and Sadducees of Christ, and that hatred would literally lead him to the cross and kill him. And as they tried to trip him up one last time and talking about divorce and remarriage, this wonderful opportunity for Jesus to teach his disciples about children, the preciousness of children, the example of our children and some of those qualities within children that we as adults and followers of Christ really need to seek diligently. And so I love this portion of Scripture because it deals with children, it deals with the parents of children, but it also deals with the teachers as we look at Matthew chapter 18. And so please join me as we stand reading God's holy word. I am going to read both sections. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 and through 16, and then Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, reading in Christ's name. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked him. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, he was angry, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Jumping to Matthew, it says, "At that time the disciples had come to Jesus, saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And in another account, they were arguing about which one of them was the greatest among the disciples. And calling to him a child, Jesus put the child in the midst of them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" Lord, we thank you for this wonderful testimony and time of teaching, each one of us here today. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be ready to receive what you have prepared for us. May every word that proceeds from my mouth be not from me, but be from you. May I be bound to the text. And so, Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would speak to us. Continue to mold us and change us into the people you long for us to become. I thank you, and I pray all of these things in God's precious name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And so there's three things we're just going to pull out of these two texts. And the first one is that children are precious to Jesus. Children are precious to Jesus. As we sang earlier, Jesus loves the little children. Actually, we didn't sing it, but we were going to. That's just a reality. And when we understand that Jesus loves the little children and we understand that scripturally, all believers in Christ Jesus are God's children, aren't we? And God loves us so much. He loves us in a way that we can never understand, in a way that we can never totally comprehend. But as we look briefly in Mark chapter 10, where the children were being brought to him, that was a very traditional thing. The parents just loved to have the rabbis and the teachers of that day lay their hands on their children and bless them. It was just something that was really important during this time of the Passover celebration or the preparation for the Passover celebration. But as we look at this, Jesus gives us some pretty stern warnings and some pretty strong commands here. And so because it was just right before Passover, families would be traveling, thousands of people would just converge on the city of Jerusalem. And so within those families, there'd be hundreds, if not thousands, of children running the streets. And the Jewish tradition was very much like that old saying that says, children are meant to be seen and not heard. And Jesus sends a very different message. Jesus wants the children to be heard. One of the things that excites me about some of the growth of the families in this congregation and the growth of the congregation itself is hearing the children. I got four boys. It doesn't distract me at all. I'll just keep talking. I'm good at it. Ask my wife. I can just keep talking about Jesus. But I love hearing the children and watching the children so excitedly come up and give to the Lord, to the Love in Action Fund. The Love in Action Fund is a discretionary account for the church to help those in need. And to see the excitement on these children's faces as they run up and hand this money, they are teaching us how we are to give, aren't they? They're teaching us how excited we should be to be in the house of the Lord and the presence of the body of Christ. But Jesus lets us know that children are precious, and he's like, do not hinder them. And that word, do not hinder, is a command, and it's a very strong command. And you can see his anger in the text, in the grammatical structure of the original language of this portion of Scripture. Jesus is mad. And that word indignant or angered literally means to be upset over an injustice. To be upset over an injustice. And so Christ views it an injustice when children are not brought to hear his word. And that's kind of convicting, isn't it? And so I'm going to very gently speak to the parents and the grandparents here today. I mean this with all of the tenderness and love and mercy of Christ Jesus himself. The only way to teach your kids the importance of faith in your life is that you model that importance through consistent church attendance. It's not about numbers. I'm not saying this just because I'm a preacher. I'm pleading with you as a parent. It was one of the most important truths that was shared to me as this man brought me to Christ and Christ saved me. I never forgot those words. That faith in Christ Jesus is modeled. It is not taught in just mere words alone. And so parents and grandparents, don't hinder the children from coming to Jesus and hearing his word, please. Because if you begin to teach them that church is only convenient when it's convenient for you, you're teaching them the wrong message. And they're the ones that are going to pay. I don't have to spend too much time convincing you that the world is trying to draw our children away from faith. It's in the schools, it's in their friends, it's in the media, it's in the music. Our kids are bombarded on a daily basis through media and external sources to pull our children away from the things of faith. We all need this hour and a half together. We need the fellowship that we have with one another. We're not meant to go through this life alone. We're meant to do it as a body knit together through Jesus Christ. And so I'm encouraging you, and I'm actually pleading with you. Consider strongly, very carefully, the consistency of your church attendance for your children's sake and for your own sake. Please, don't hinder the children. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to just read this very quickly. Hebrews chapter 10, We're going to begin in verse 24. I have this one circled and underlined, and the thing that they stressed even in my seminary training is that I am a husband first, a dad second, and my career comes a very, very further on third. And one way that I need to, as the spiritual leader of my home, teach my kids is I need to be in church every weekend. Now, I know I'm the pastor. I kind of have to be here. But when I wasn't a pastor, I was still here every weekend. Not in this church, but in a church. Why? Because you know what? I need it, if I'm honest. I need it just as much as they do. And I need to teach them that this is important through my life and through my choices and actions. The writer of Hebrews encourages us in verse 24. It says, "And let us consider how to stir one another up in love to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Do you see the day drawing near? Wars, rumors of wars, the hatred and the violence toward the Christian faith, people being martyred in third world countries, especially the Middle East. There is a hatred of Christianity growing in this world. Our kids need every tool that we can give them in their toolbox to endure these temptations, to endure this onslaught of things pulling them away, to set in their life a foundation of Christ Jesus. And it starts at our home. It starts in our home, and it starts with us as parents and grandparents and guardians. I'm going to leave you with a strong statement by Christ in Matthew chapter 18. "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be thrown into the depth of the sea." Do you understand how much God loves these children and longs for them to be under the teaching of God's word, to be taught God's word, not only for the salvation of their soul, but so that they will endure all the days of their life? And so I'm pleading with you parents, guardians, and grandparents, bring your children and your grandchildren consistently to hear the word of God. The next thing that we're going to look at as we jump over to Matthew chapter 18 is that children display a teachability that adults should seek diligently. Children display a teachability that adults should seek diligently. They came to Jesus and they said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put the child in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And so this teachability, there's like three qualities that are in children that we need to diligently seek after: humility, teachability, being moldable, being able to change, to admit when we're wrong, to have the humility and the courage to know that we were wrong, to come to Christ, ask his forgiveness, and then change what needs to be changed. And in this case, we're talking about bringing our children to hear the word of God. The word disciple literally means learner. If you call yourself a believer in Christ Jesus, you are a disciple of Christ and you are a learner. And so adults, I'm speaking to you that as we are to model this importance of faith in Christ Jesus in our home, to our children and to our grandchildren, each one of us needs to be humble, each one of us needs to be teachable, and each one of us needs to be moldable, changeable. And so I'm just going to ask you politely, how humble and teachable and moldable have you been lately? Are you willing to admit when you're wrong, even to your children and your grandchildren? That is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength and courage. to admit to your children and your grandchildren, you know, I was wrong about this, and I'm sorry. And so I'm asking you to help me to change. It takes courage to do that. But that's the heart that God wants us to have as disciples and learners of Christ. Humility is talked about all throughout the Bible. In Psalm 25, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right. He teaches the humble his way." In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and a tender heart, and a humble mind." Humble, teachable, moldable. That's what it means to be a learner or a disciple of Christ Jesus. And so this is the truth. May we seek these qualities in our own life. Maybe we be willing to say that we were wrong. May we be willing to change what needs to be changed for the sake of our children, our grandchildren, for the sake of ourselves and our own walk with Christ. The final thing I want to look at is that the greatest teacher, I'm going to speak to the teachers of our Sunday school here, the greatest teacher is the one who is a humble learner. The greatest teacher is the one who is a humble learner. Again, Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read a different translation of verses 3 and 4 because I think it really pulls out the truth of this text. In verse 3 and 4 in the New Living Translation, it says this, "Then Jesus said, 'I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven.' And so anyone who becomes as humble as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." I love that first part. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children. I think the quality I appreciate in my children so much is when I do confront them on things that they have done wrong or maybe attitudes that they were kind of flowing out of them that they needed to change or examine, that they're really humble to me, and I appreciate that about them. They look at me and I often will get tears in their eyes, especially if I use the word disappointment. "I'm really disappointed in you. You've displayed some selfishness here. You really need to examine that." I really appreciate the tenderness of my children because you know what? They're teaching me that I need to be like them. I need to be tender-hearted and understand when it is I'm wrong. Admit it right away. Boy, we don't like to do that, do we? We don't like to be wrong. But children are so quick to say, "I'm sorry." Children are so quick to say, "You know what? I was wrong there." And they're so quick to listen to those in authority over them. And so the greatest teacher is the one who is the most humble learner. The greatest teacher is the one who is a humble learner. As Jesus stated to his disciples, we are to be like children. Humble, teachable, and moldable. Doesn't matter what age we are. You know that saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It just doesn't work with the body of Christ. That doesn't work. The statement of, "Well, that's just the way that I am," that's not what Jesus says here. You can't use that as an excuse. We all are learners, no matter how old or young that we are. And Jesus, in his gentle persistence, wants to teach us to become the people he longs for us to be, to mold us into that person he longs for you to be, that spiritual leader in your home, that dad, that mom, that grandparent, that guardian that he wants you to be. And so as we kind of put it all together and we seek to take this home and to apply it to our lives, do not hinder your children and grandchildren from hearing the word of God, please. Model the importance of faith in Christ Jesus by your own and through your own church attendance. We need each other. The best way to teach the importance of faith is to begin in your home and to model that in your life. Secondly, believers in Christ Jesus are to diligently seek through the power of the Holy Spirit to be humble, to be teachable and moldable. And finally, the greatest teacher is the best most humble learner. The greatest teacher is the best learner. And so I pray that you would diligently seek after the Lord this week, and I pray that you would do what the action points ask you to do at the bottom of your notes there, to pray Ephesians chapter 3 over your life. I pray that you would do that and you would apply these things to your life. Join me as we pray. Lord, I thank you for your holy word, and I thank you for how you long for us to become like little children. Lord, I pray that we as parents and grandparents and guardians would not hinder our children bringing them to church consistently and modeling the importance of faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, I also pray that we would have humility and that we would be teachable and moldable in our own life as, again, we model importance of Christ-likeness in our own faith. And Lord, I pray for our teachers who have volunteered and been chosen to teach these classes. May they be the best and most humble learners. May each one of us diligently seek you with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And may we do so all the days of our life. I pray all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.